Hello, everybody, and welcome to Phoenix Cinema Podcast. I'm Chris Austin.
I'm Luke Parker.
And this is a podcast where we discuss what's showing at the Phoenix Cinema in North London. And this week, we are discussing German filmmaker Edward Berger's new film, Conclave.
Yep, so based on a 2016 novel by Robert Harris, Edward Berger's Conclave follows the secretive election process to determine a new leader for the Catholic Church, revolving around the complex dynamics and power plays that occur behind the Vatican's closed doors. The conclave quickly becomes a battlefield of philosophies, loyalty, and deceit, as each cardinal has his own vision for the future of the church. As the film's lead, Ralph Fiennes plays Dean Lawrence, who oversees the conclave process. He guides the cardinals through the ritualistic and intense voting procedure, while slowly, but certainly not without drama, layers of corruption and personal motivation are unveiled. Dean Lawrence must manage pressures within the conclave, all whilst maintaining the delicate balance of power amongst the cardinals. With voting underway, long-buried conflicts surface and allegiances begin to shift, ultimately raising questions about the intersection and compatibility of religion and politics. So, Chris, what did you think of Conclave?
Nicely done. Yeah, well, I watched it today, so fresh, very fresh for me. And I enjoyed it.
I thought it was cool.
I just enjoyed. I thought it was fine. I don't have much to say about it. but I thought it was an interesting film. I think sometimes it was quite funny. I don't even know if it was intentionally so. I think maybe it was, but I found it quite funny at times.
Like when, for example?
I think there's just an absurdity to the entire thing.
Yeah, and that's true.
And I think it actually speaks to my pairing for the episode later, in that I couldn't help but go with the absolute comedy version of this film, you know. I thought it was quite good. I have a feeling you thought much more of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I would urge anyone listening to this to please go out and watch this movie. I think it's really masterful. I love how it's written. I love how tense it is. One of my favorite things about the film, actually, was I think it had an absolutely banging score. Mm. It's not the sort of score where I'd go and listen to the album in full, but I think it's a score that complements the film so perfectly. And it's almost quite odd, because if you do listen to the score in isolation, it almost sounds like it would fit some kind of horror or like really tense thriller. It's kind of like these sharp stabbing strings of quite a lot of it. But it really helps to build the tension of the film. And I really love how kind of for the cardinals, how each of their different like motivations and how they're corrupt and how they're like conniving and orchestrating their way to the papacy. It's like, it's really well done. And the film falls heavily on Ralph Fiennes' shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think he is incredible. I mean, obviously he's a fantastic actor anyway. Like, no one's ever had any doubt about that. But he was really, really excellent.
And you just knew, I mean, you look at the cast of actors that this film put together, and you know you're just going to, as soon as you sit down and those credits roll, you're going to get some solid performances here.
Yeah,
Ralph Fiennes, John Lithgow, Stanley Tucci, Isabella Rossellini. I mean, it's like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. As you said, as predicted, they were all absolutely great. I really love the location work on the film. So obviously, it's very unlikely that they were able to film in the Vatican. So I know that most of the film was actually filmed in Rome.
Okay.
But like the location work is great and the film looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it does.
There's one shot of the film, and it's kind of towards the end, so I don't really want to spoil it, but it's where they've had to dismiss out of the Sistine Chapel for some reason, and they're all sat in this almost like theater, and yes. you have all the cardinals with Ralph Fiennes' character at the front, and then you just have this one character who stands up and gives a bit of a speech.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it just looks fantastic. It's like a piece of art.
Mm.
But there's lots of different shots like that. You know, there's shots when you have them walking with their white umbrellas through the rain. They're just very cleverly put together, and they look great.
Yeah, I agree. The directing is absolutely fantastic. I mean, the compositions of each frame. It's like that. What's that YouTube channel? Each frame a painting. Every frame a painting. Yeah. It's that. It is so gorgeously composed, this film. So when you speak about certain moments, it is so clear in my head because I'm like, it's so striking, the image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and the film, it is, in parts, it's a little slow, but I think it does a really good job of building tension and, okay, it's not suspense, but, you know, building that really strong tension and constructing the drama between the different characters and the different conflicts. And that is probably the biggest criticism I can give the film, is that for me, the ending doesn't quite hit as hard as it should, considering the amount of drama that and conflict that the film then builds up. It almost finishes too suddenly, and it almost finishes with a bit of a, you know, like there's nothing. Because I don't want to spoil it.
Sure.
You know, but I was left a little disappointed from the ending. But I just thought the rest of the film was so fantastic. You know, but so it's. I don't want to say it was bad, because, you know, it actually is a fantastic film.
So what was it more to do with sort of the resolution of the film, the way they just tied the film up?
Yeah, because, you know, we have that speech of that character I just mentioned, and that shot that looked amazing.
Yes.
And then that character then plays a significant role at the end. And then at the end, there's, you know, we learn the kind of the backstory about this character right at the end. And the film doesn't finish with the oomph that I think it should do. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, you know, again, I don't think I was as affected by this film as you were.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I felt about it was, I thought it was really funny. And I know that maybe doesn't sound quite right, but I just thought the film, it's so ridiculous. And it almost, I think, the film really exposes the fallacy of anyone who is Pope being this ultimately perfect human being, this vessel for God. At the end of the day, no human being is perfect. We're all flawed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of how flawed can you be that everyone else can live with. And at the end, I mean, it's the film was funny to me because each candidate for the Pope's position have some sort of black mark against them.
Yeah.
And even the final one, it turns out there's a reason to panic. And I just frankly thought that was hilarious. However, there's something quite heart-rending and quite emotional about the final, let's say, the final reveal of the backstory of who the Pope ends up being. And it's, yeah, but I think I didn't quite feel it to the point where exactly what you were saying, I didn't feel it land in that powerful way.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, to me, I just kind of chuckled at how ridiculous the whole thing felt. I don't know.
Yeah, like the whole thing is a little ridiculous, and I completely agree with that. And I think one of the things that I did really like about the film is how it touches on on like the role of politics amongst like these religious leaders. You know, quite a big element of the film is one of the candidates is quite a strong conservative who has a more traditional ideas about what the church should be, against Stanley Tucci's character, for example, is much more liberal. And that kind of discourse and that kind of conflict between them was really, really interesting to see. Especially like, I really like that I watched this film now, because especially over like the last year, there's been in the news, and it's been quite a big issue, is kind of like you said, these black marks that are against religious leaders, and how in reality they don't stand up to be these perfect characters who we would expect them to be. You know, for example, in the UK, just over the last few months, I think it was the Archbishop had to stand down because he basically shielded someone against child sex abuse allegations and claims. And so there's been a lot of talk and discussion about that. So I just think it's super, super interesting. And I think the film does a really good job of kind of bringing those ideas up. And even though I wouldn't really say it says anything massive, it's just interesting to get you thinking about these different things, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I totally see your point. And I do think that the film does a great job at exactly what you said, at making that so clear, and really evaluating all the different, and it's so, so complicated, isn't it?
Yeah.
How this whole process, and it's very interesting. I also still think it's so funny. There's something that's so ridiculous to me about the whole thing, you know, to what you were saying with the real life scenario. So that archbishop that had to step down. And then recently that wasn't there a priest or something who allowed, what's her name? Is it Sabrina Carpenter?
Maybe.
And she shot a music video in a church. And
oh, really?
The priest who allowed it to happen has been sacked.
Oh, I didn't hear about that, but like, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, so there's this absurdity. Imagine having to go and sit in this very formal meeting in front of all these, you know, I'm picturing it in my head now, having watched the film, all these cardinals, and having to explain why you allowed Sabrina Carpenter to film a music. But, you know, it's just like, I don't know. And when it comes to religion is such a funny, it's such a weird thing with me as well. I mean, are you religious?
I'm not, no, not at all.
Okay. You weren't, do you?
I went to like a Church of England school, and obviously as part of school, I had to go to church every now and then. But, you know, I don't come from a religious family. I wasn't brought up Christian at all or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. Do you believe, so you don't believe in God or?
No. I know you have a bit more of like a bit more of a relationship with the church and everything, don't you?
For sure. Yeah. I was kind of forced into it. You know, you grow up, if you're growing up into a religious family, you've got no choice, you know? Yeah. So I was baptized as a kid. Obviously I don't have a say in that. and then, you know, you grow up going to Catholic schools. And so obviously, you know, you say your prayers and a lot to do with the church. The Catholic schools are very linked with your local churches. And even to get into my secondary school, you know, high school, the priest had to see you at church on Sundays to get into the top Catholic schools in your area. And it's just like, how has the priest now got a say in my future education, you know, in one of the top schools in the borough? It's just, it's crazy. But it was all normal for me, and my first communion and doing all of that stuff. You know, I know my Hail Marys and my Our Fathers. I know it off the back of my hand. You know, it's just one of those things. However, yeah, I guess there's your religion and then there's your faith. And my faith is...
You're not a practicing Christian.
Absolutely not. Would I say that it's rapidly deteriorated? I don't know if I'd put it like that, or it's just quietly snuck out the back door. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I would like to believe in God. Do I? I don't know. I'm still undecided. Yeah.
That's totally fine. That's totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah. My father died when I was young. I was a week off of turning 12, and I did what I thought an honest, God-fearing Christian should do. And I prayed so hard. Mm-hmm. I could have sworn I prayed so hard. I even did these random things in like the hospital chapel where they had these stained glass windows with a different like saint on each one. And I got on my knees in front of each window thinking, surely this is going to do it. Like, I'm doing a lot here.
Yeah.
And he died anyway.
Oh man.
And it felt, you know, when you feel like your prayers are going unanswered or unheard, I don't know.
Was that a point after that you kind of felt your faith to deteriorate, or has it been like a longer process?
I think a longer process. Yeah. Funnily enough, I think maybe my faith was stronger than ever after my dad died, because then I was like clinging on to the fact that there is an afterlife and that he's watching over me and maybe I can still talk to him. And yeah, I guess as you get older, maybe that kind of, for me, it faded. But, you know, there's many aspects of my life that I can say, wow, well, if this hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened. And I can see a whole trajectory mm-hmm. based on things that, and then, so I think to myself, maybe there is like a higher design or someone or something watching over me and guiding me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reason, you know, I bring all this up because you watch films like this, and this is maybe why the absurdity and the ridiculousness of how serious this all is. That's how I felt towards it, because of maybe I have really lost that connection with the whole idea of organized religion and the church and all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I guess like for me as well, as someone who's not religious, watching the film, I kind of, once you got into it, you kind of forgot that this was actually a Christian setting, and you kind of just become invested in these like personal conflicts and dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of want to know what the resolution of all these, you know, different issues are going to be. And yeah, it almost like the religious element isn't massively significant. I guess what it is trying to say in terms of like leadership and politics is that even though it shouldn't play a role in religion, like it does, and inevitably it does, and it's not really much, I guess, you can do about that. And something I was thinking about for the film is that, obviously, I can't say so because I'm not religious, but I'd be would be interested in what someone who was heavily Catholic would think about this film in terms of like perpetuating this negative image of, you know, the top leaders of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Because obviously that's not an issue for someone like me or you, but I would be curious to see if someone would have like that kind of negative reaction of how it's like portraying this group of people.
Yeah, for sure. That's, yeah, very interesting to think about. And honestly, I think that's the highest compliment you can give the film, is that you being a non-religious person yourself, there's nothing about this film that got hung up on the religion aspect. And it just tells a character-driven story. That's a very political story that I guess is just universal, really, when you think about appointing any sort of leader in any sort of facet. Yeah, it's, you know, there were times watching this film where I was really thinking, what's any of this got to do with the religion itself, with God? And that's, again, it's the absurdity of it all that I guess, and if that was the point, great. You know, that really came through to me. I don't know. It's a funny one.
Okay. Is what else in the film would you say that kind of didn't really like, or maybe just you didn't connect with so much?
I don't know. I guess, you know, I just wasn't, I wasn't overly compelled by it, but by the narrative, but I was blown away on a technical level throughout. On that, I agree with you 100%. You were speaking of locations earlier, and I agree. The production design is amazing.
Yeah.
The colors, the costumes are incredible.
Even like their living quarters where they are temporarily, yes. It almost seems out of like a sci-fi film. It's just it's so unexpected.
And I'm glad you say that, because it speaks to something I really like about the movie, and that is how modern everything is. You know, when you think of the Vatican, and you know, the papal see and the Pope and cardinals, it evokes this old-fashioned sense of things to me.
Yeah.
And this movie is so modern. Their living quarters are so modern. Yeah. Their practices are modern at times.
It's weird. There's like shots of them on their iPhones and things like that. It's just
you don't
ever put these two things together. I feel like part of me still thinks that the people at this level in the church are almost stuck in like 1,000 years ago. Like you don't think of these things together. So I totally agree with that.
And one of the best moments, and I don't know if you noticed this, but does one of the cardinals start vaping at one point?
Oh, there's multiple that vape. Tedesco.
Tedesco.
He's pretty much always got a vape going.
I was like, when I saw him just, and by the way, inside, not even going outside to do it, but inside, I thought this is the most modern representation of Vatican cardinals that you will ever see.
Absolutely. It is a little jarring, but it's kind of great at the same time.
It's great. No, I love that. I love those little touches to bring us into the present day of this story. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Did you see Berger's previous film? Was it All Quiet on the Western Front?
I actually haven't yet. It was one of those ones that was at the top of my list. You know, I know it got a lot of hype around awards season. And I haven't actually seen any other of his work, but is it The Terror? It's the TV show that I think he worked on? Or one of the TV shows he worked on?
Yes, one of them, yeah.
Yeah, like I did start that and I really liked it, but again, I'm not great with TV shows, so I'm not very consistent with them, so I didn't finish it, but you know, I did enjoy what I saw.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I have seen All Quiet on the Western Front, which was what, 2-3 years ago? And so when I saw that Edward Berger directed this film, I was very excited, because dude, All Quiet on the Western Front is a banger.
Yeah,
I definitely filmmaking. Oh my! And I know it's a remake.
Films as well, yeah. But
exactly, yeah. And I haven't seen the original, but yeah, Berger's film was on a technical level, as you can imagine. Now watching this, the filmmaking is incredible. And it's a funny thing, because you go from this all-out war film, and he's doing so many incredible action sequences so well, and then he seeks into this much quieter film. I thought that was a very interesting sort of switch. I mean, I guess it speaks to how versatile he is as a filmmaker. But yeah, to go from All Quiet on the Western Front to Conclave, you're like, oh, God, it's like whiplash. It's like, oh, right, so he is capable of much subtler work.
Yeah, I mean, based on like the production design, I imagine like this still was a lot of work, but I get what you're saying in that it's a very more like, it's, well, obviously I haven't seen All Quiet on the Western Front, but you know, this film feels very stripped back, and it's very enclosed, this film, naturally, based on you know, what it's about. But yeah, that's, I agree, that definitely, you know, says to him as a director and how versatile he is.
Yeah, I'm, and Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to ask how you think this film will fare in awards season.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But last I saw, this film had been like, had been already nominated for quite a few things.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, six Golden Globe nominations, you know, and it's like, oh, wow. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't expect it, but you're right. It shouldn't surprise me when you look at the caliber of, you know, the actors and even the filmmaker, you know, coming off of a massive hit like All Quiet on the Western Front, which I think was nominated for some things. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I mean, Golden Globes, I don't know if it's, Oscars aren't even nominated yet, I don't think, no. But at the Globes, you've got Best Score, Best Screenplay, Best Director, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actor, Ralph Fiennes, and Best Picture, Best Motion Picture. So it's going to be a major player, I think.
Yeah, I think this will definitely get a Best Picture nom. I don't think it will be like one of the top contenders. I think Best Screenplay as well, potentially. And I hope Ralph Fiennes gets recognition as well.
Yeah, I think maybe. I mean, I think nominations is maybe as far as it might get, but definitely going to be on the map. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I know at the start of this call, you were thinking about what your pairing would be. So I'll lead off with mine. And the only film I could think of, and it'd be let me know if this entered your mind as well, was The Death of Stalin.
Oh, that is a great option. Oh, I'm annoyed I didn't think of that. I can't top that. Yeah, that is very, very good.
I can't top that. Yeah, no, I mean, it was, again, like I said, maybe it's because I had that pairing in my head that I started to find everything about this movie so funny. But it's very much, The Death of Stalin is the comedy version of this film, where you have a man in power who dies, and he creates this power vacuum that everybody rushes to fill. And The Death of Stalin, you've seen it, obviously, right?
Yeah. I absolutely love it.
I love it. It does it tremendously well. But the cast is incredible. It's Armando Iannucci. And it's just, it's incredible. But it's also very brutal. It's a brutal film as well. Massive fan.
Yeah, that's a great pick. mine's a bit shit. Oh, well.
no.
So this was actually picked as a pairing, I think, for small things like these. But I'm going to choose it again. I think. I'm going to pick Spotlight, which, as we talked about before, was about the news reporters uncovering sex abuse scandals in the church. And I just think that they would be really interesting to be shown together. They both have absolutely incredible screenplays, and they both. Have really, really good dialogue and really good characters with really interesting dynamics, and I guess just the subject matters as well, side by side, I think would be it would definitely be an interesting watch.
That's excellent. I think that's a great pairing. I think that's a great pairing.
Not as good as Death of Stalin, for sure, but
very different. Very different. Oh, that's perfect, man. Lovely.
Spotlight, another film with an absolutely stacked cast as well.
Stacked cast. An incredible cast, yeah. It's been a few years, actually. I'd love to go and revisit that. Heavy subject matter, though, it is. Cool. Well, all right. Well, before we leave things off, I mean, we've already done our 2024 in review episode, but one thing we didn't get to, which I thought would be fun, is to do our PCP awards. So to do our top five awards categories that we've decided: best score, best screenplay, best performance, best director, best film of the podcast so far, including Conclave. And let's just go back and forth because that'll be fun to do. So best score, who have you gone for?
Oh, it's a little bit boring, but yeah, I've gone for Conclave for this one. You know, like I mentioned earlier, it's not a score that, you know, I'd go and listen to the album to, but in terms of a score that works incredibly well for the film it's in and does a good job of building tension. Yeah, I definitely think it's one of the best from these films that I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just saw it. Well, before we get to that, I just saw the guy's name is Hauschka. I thought, so his name is Volker Bertelmann, but he goes under the name Hauschka. He's a former rapper.
Interesting. So that's I haven't looked up who it actually was.
I don't know him too much. I know he also scored All Quiet on the Western Front as well. Dude, you got to watch. Go and watch that movie. I can't wait to hear what you think. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I went with Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Challengers.
I didn't see Challengers yet, but I did hear that was a good score.
Yeah, it wasn't a film that I really enjoyed. It was probably one of my least favorites, actually, of the entire, I guess we could say, our first season. But the score is very eclectic, very dynamic. It's very big, and it goes really well with the film. Again, I might not listen to the album, but yeah, I'd throw it in there.
Cool.
Best screenplay.
Okay, so again, I think I'm saying it right. It's Peter Straubin, and the original writer Robert Harris for Conclave.
This isn't recency bias, is it?
You know what? To be honest, that might be an element here, but I don't know, just looking back at all the podcast films. You know, I think I'm happy with that choice. The only close second was about dry grasses. Oh, I thought some of that film was beautifully written. Some of the dialogue and like some of the monologue was really, really nice. But in terms of creating captivating and intense conversations between characters and really good personal dramas, I think this probably was the best.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh, nice. Excellent. Well, cool. I've gone with Enda Walsh for Small Things Like These. Okay. I really, really dug that script. I thought the story was just excellent. And we spoke about it. It is confounding at times. It's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
There's a lot that it doesn't answer and a lot that it leaves up to interpretation. But personally, I really like that.
It's very sparing, really very that. Empty, that film. I doubt that the screenplay was very long.
Exactly. Excellent.
I feel like most of that script is just Cillian Murphy looks empty in the distance.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Cool. Best performance.
This was an easy one for me. I know I've raved about the film a lot, but this is definitely Saoirse Ronan in The Outrun.
For Blitz, right?
You know what? She was really good in that as well. You know, The Outrun was my favorite film. As I mentioned in the last podcast, my favorite film of the year. And, you know, she is the pillar that film sits on. One of my favorite actresses, and wouldn't expect any less from her. Just a very emotional, very real performance.
Great choice. I agree with that 100%. I agree with that. I think that's great. I went with Koji Yakusho, who is the lead actor, the Japanese actor from Perfect Days. You haven't seen, right?
Not yet.
Yes. Excellent performance, man. I can't wait for you to see it so we can chat about it.
It's on Mubi now, isn't it? So I can check that out.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's mostly silent. There's so much of it that's internalized, but it's And there's so much that you have to sort of infer just based on what he's giving you that the movie just won't tell you. But it is wonderful. Yeah, it's a wonderful
awesome piece. Good pick.
Best director.
Again, maybe recency bias. But, you know, we've spoken to it a lot in this episode now, but, like, Edward Berger just did such a fantastic job with this film. Yeah, really captivating scenes and, like, everything's just so well orchestrated. I do think there's tough competition for this one. I think out of all the PCP films, there's been a lot of great directors. I was actually close to picking Miyazaki for The Boy and the Heron, even though like I wasn't, a massive fan of it. I think that, you know, the direction on that film is just as good as any other of the classic Ghibli movies. But I do think Edward Berger was at the top for me.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, man. I can't argue with that. The directing is phenomenal. There's no doubt about that. I went for Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
That's another good shout. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it just...
How do you see that?
Yeah, I guess in terms of like pure knockouts, I was knocked out by that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And such a great command of craft. But, you know, with that, there's so many elements working together, right? Yes, it's performances, it's sound, it's editing, yes. But as the overseer of all of that, what an incredible film he put together. Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. That's a good choice.
And, well, this, we know what this is already, you know, best film. We've already kind of spoken about this.
Sorry, I feel like my picks have been a bit boring. There's not much variety, but...
Not at all. Hey, you love what you love, man.
Exactly. Yeah, so obviously, best one for me is definitely The Outrun, you know. And again, I've spoken about this film a lot. It's just incredibly beautiful. Deals with a really difficult issue, really delicately and really sensitively. And tells just a fantastic story. And it's a near perfect film for me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, I think it's obvious. I think we did because we spoke about this on the last episode. But my best of this podcast so far has been Perfect Days. Wim Wenders' movie, Perfect Days. It's a beautiful film in so many ways. And it's a film about really trying to really finding the beauty in everyday life. In the, I don't really want to say mundane, but in the sort of rote routines and rhythms of everyday life. And finding those little moments of joy and peace and beauty, no matter what you do, even if you are a toilet cleaner in Tokyo. And so it's quite a powerful movie.
Yeah, I really need to check it out. That and All Quiet on the Western Front are going to be my night sorted, I think.
There you go. Yes, there you go. I'll hear from you tomorrow. I expect that text. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you
for the year that's gone by, and we'll look forward to the year ahead.
Yep, it's to the next one.
On to the next one. Yes, thank you, sir. I'll see you on the next episode. And thank you for listening, everybody. Happy New Year. A special thanks to Phoenix Cinema, as always. Our music is by Stefan Krieger. You can find more of his music on stefan-krieger.com, and our episodes are edited by Noah Anderson. If you like this podcast, if you listen to this podcast, share it, like it, rate it, subscribe to it. It can massively, massively help us. And allow us to keep doing this. And when you've done all that, go and watch a movie at the Phoenix Cinema. Take your pick now. You've got two screens. Take your pick. And I'll see you there.